Welcome to Discipline Win, a podcast on how to win in discipline, both within ourselves and when helping others. Make sure to check out the blog post accompanying this and my other episodes on school discipline and inclusive practices. Hashtag Discipline Win. Learn more at andyjacks.com, including free resources and more about my book, Discipline Win, strategies to improve behavior, increase ownership, and give every student a chance, because that's what it's all about. How we could be our best for every kid every day, and really to help them make those improvements that they need and that they deserve. This week's episode is somewhat of a reflection, but an ongoing conversation we're having about how to work with kids, especially kids that are giving you a run for your money. And I really try to focus on not just the sort of what you call the easy kids, but the tough and challenging kids too. Many of you may have grown up like that. I know I probably grew up like that. If anything, this is probably a shout out and a retribution or whatever you want to call it to all those teachers that gave me a chance and that kept hanging in there for me, even though I'm sure I did not deserve it at the time. One thing I thought about, a great quote to start this off, is by Tony Gaskins, "Arguing isn't communication, it's noise." Think about that. Arguing isn't communication, it's noise. There are so many times that we get into arguments with kids. We sort of naturally, not literally fight them physically, but maybe emotionally, maybe with words, verbal spats. And you know who wins those kind of arguments? Nobody. Definitely not us. Maybe the kids actually win those things, because in the long run, they get some power out of it. And it just sort of further solidifies whatever viewpoint they have of us, that we're the bad guy and that everyone's out to get them. And all it does is just, it's just noise, and it doesn't get us anywhere. It definitely, if anything, takes us backwards. And in our jobs, I think the one thing that we really want to do is to reduce the noise, keep things simple, keep things positive, especially right now with everything going on. And it's good for us, it's good for the kids, and all around good for the school culture. You know, we have kids that are, you know, doing behaviors that are challenging. Sometimes it feels like a personal attack. I know I felt that way. They do things, and honestly, sometimes it's like they look at you and they do it staring at you. In some cases, we have some kids that really do things, you could argue, intentionally. You know, they're trying to get a rise out of you. They're trying to get that sense of power and control in their lives. You know, that sense of what they call it, the locus of control, where they feel like they can control what's going on around them. And that's what they really want. They don't necessarily even want your power. They want their own power. They want to feel a sense of control in their lives, just like we all do. And they take that out in ways that are not good for themselves, really, and definitely not good for our school, and distracting behaviors in our classroom, really challenging for teachers. And it's natural for us to feel like it's an attack on us, like it's a personal attack, like they're out to get us. But really, I don't think it is that way. I think when it comes down to it, they're just doing things. For the most part, I don't think they even know why they're doing it. They're just doing it. They're not really intentionally thinking, hey, Andy, I'm out to get you, and this, here's how I'm going to do it. Really, they're doing it for a lot of other reasons. You know, kids don't know what they're doing. They're influenced by so much by society and by their friends and what they're doing. You know, society's tough right now. Kids have things that are going on that we never had. You know, the community at large is intense. You have TikTok that they can just go through the feed all the time, or you know, the Facebook feeds, or all the new apps out there, or Snapchats, where they're just seeing the constant feed of, you know, what's most popular are things that get people's attention, typically are things that are negative and nasty, making fun of people, pranks on people, generally things that are not positive. There's even tons of videos on just, you know, police issues and all sorts of problems and fights and arguments and things like that. That's what they're constantly seeing. Social media in general feeds off the dark side for the most part of our lives, and that's where it sort of makes its money. I try to use it for good. I know a lot of others, my friends and colleagues and peers out there, trying to put positive things out there to influence people in positive ways, keep schools a good place. But I know right now even educators, they're getting in that trap of negativity, and social media definitely has that influence on our kids. The TV shows that our kids watch have a crazy negative influence on them. Everything from almost like, I mean, once you get out of like, you know, the sort of the toddler shows, it gets snarky really fast. All of the shows that these kids watch, you know, they're funny for like adults. They're funny for kids. Kids like it. And of course, it makes money for these shows, but they're snarky. That's, I don't know how other way to put it. Everything from like Captain Underpants, you know, I'm a school principal. And people were always like, ah, don't you love Captain Underpants? You could dress up like Captain Underpants for Halloween. And I'm like, no, that's, I mean, I appreciate what they're trying to do and getting kids trying to read, but that whole show is designed to make fun of principals. That's not what my goal is. My goal isn't to be made fun of. My goal is that I have great relationships and they look up to my position and me as a person, that they can help maybe want to be me, not make fun of me. So you think about all these things that are influencing them. And then ultimately, even their families and society. We live in a world right now that's all about just fighting. Fighting for my rights. Fighting for what I want. It's all about me. And that's their new norm. They think that they're arguing for themselves is the new norm. And, you know, maybe it's been that way for a while, but it's definitely that way right now. And so they come to you and they argue with you about their rights, about what they think is important. You know, you can take it personally, or you can realize, yeah, that's what everybody's doing right now. So of course kids are going to be doing that if we're all doing that as well. So how can we help think about maybe some ways to address that? Because you can't just fight back. Well, the most important thing to think about is that whole idea of social cognitive learning theory. And this talks about this, the concept is that everybody, not just kids, learn from what they see and hear. It's this constant observation that we do around us about how people are acting socially, and we watch and we learn and we can decide at that point. That's why it's the cognitive component of this, if we're going to do the same thing or not. Naturally, we tend to do what others do around us. If all sorts of people are being nasty, we tend to be nasty. It's just built into our DNA. Ultimately, what separates us from just machines is that we can decide to be nasty or not, or we can decide to be positive or not, but we tend to be influenced by those around us. You know, we copy without even realizing it, and our kids definitely do that. But ultimately, they don't keep that behavior going unless they feel that it somehow is in their best interest or that benefits them some way in their lives. That, and for us, the more that we reward or reinforce those positive behaviors, the more likely they will do it because it is in their best interest. And a lot of times we don't have to do anything crazy to reward them. I know we get in this trap of giving prizes, like literal prizes for every little thing that they do. And I think honestly, the prize is your smile and your praise and your acknowledgement and your genuine. This has to be genuine. Your genuine acknowledgement that they are trying to be good. Let me say that again. The more that we recognize and slow down and be genuine, like, and they can tell, right? We can tell with others. They can tell. When we're being genuine that they are a good person and that we feel that they're a good person and that they're trying to do good, I think that goes such a long way to reinforce those behaviors to keep happening. But ultimately, there are some things that we could do to really make a difference that don't cost money and they aren't some specific program, but they're sort of conceptual in nature. So let's break those down. There's another great quote. There's an ancient poet, Rumi: "Raise your words, not your voice. It is rain that grows flowers, not thunder." I love this quote. Raise your words, not your voice. It is rain that grows flowers, not thunder. Right? It's that idea that, you know, you can't talk over kids. You'll never win by being louder. The loudest person in the room never really wins the room, right? Oftentimes, the most quiet, sincere, and genuine person that will win that room. Really, it comes down to this. When we're in the mindset of service, when we're here to serve students, to serve as a leader our teachers, to serve our community and our parents, it changes the way we view every single situation. You know, I'm in the cafeteria every day trying to help our kids and trying to create a sense of like order and politeness, you know, something that maybe isn't around as much anymore, but it makes a huge difference. When I go around and I serve, I literally serve. I walk around and collect the trash and wipe the tables. And if they need a napkin, I give them a napkin or a spoon. And I do so in a way that is so intentionally positive and polite. Even if they're not polite to me, I try to remind them like, whoa, easy, easy. That was a little bit much. But here, and I reinforce and remind them about how to act. You know, 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes, and excuse me, or thank you. And every time I collect trash, I'm always like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And very genuinely thanking them. And I tell you what, it has a huge, enormous influence on them. If anything, this week has reminded me how much of an influence that we truly can have on our kids, because they respond in a way that is very similar. generally, I think kids get it. I think people get it. I think they want to be nice. And when you're super nice to them, and I don't mean fake. I don't mean like patronizing. I mean just genuinely in your heart nice to them. They do respond in kind. You know, when you think about school discipline, this is something I always think about, which is discipline isn't something we do to kids. Oftentimes, that is what happens in school discipline. It's all about our control and power over kids. Discipline is really something we do for kids. We serve kids. How can we help them grow, take that ownership to want to be better, make progress? But ultimately, if we serve them, if we help them, you know, they will respond and follow our lead. So again, overdue kindness, being genuine, and constantly model. Everything we do is a model for our kids. How we act together, how we act with each other in our school. They watch how staff members treat each other. When we're kind to each other, we help each other out, we're nice to each other. That's how they think is now the new normal. And even though they may have society that is out there not showing them good models, they are in school a lot. And as a school, we have that time and we should take that time and use it and really model and practice what we preach. You know, they probably don't even know what being polite sounds and looks like, you know, so maybe the only way they learn it is from us. So we have to be, you know, specifically teach them what that looks like and why it works and how it's going to work in their favor for their future, especially get to the teenage years where they think it won't matter. There are skills, interpersonal skills that they will need to be successful in life and ultimately for them, you know, do better in their job, make more money, whatever that may be that their goals are, especially in every career. Another thing to think about is groups. You know, groups a lot of times, you know, I call it that mob mentality when kids can be swayed one way or the other based on how the group is going. You know, if a group is tends to get tough and, you know, behaviors, then all, you know, a lot of kids get that way if they get nasty and snarky. But I also truly believe this is sort of that foundation of school culture, that when kids start becoming more and more polite as a group, then everyone becomes that way too. So be careful trying to overpower these groups of kids, especially like maybe you're in a classroom and kids start really talking over each other and interrupting you, and you think you need to get louder and louder and get control back and power, sort of overpower them. You'll lose that battle every time. Even if you sort of win in the moment, you'll lose in the long run. Yeah, you may get them in trouble and you may get command or whatever you want to call it, you know, but this isn't like some militaristic, you know, you have to listen to me or else. That may work temporarily. You may get a sort of small little win out of that, but in the long run, you just break down relationships. They learn to hate you, and you create the thing that you don't want. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. They then think that you're the bad guy because you are sort of being the bad guy. That power that, you know, they all can kind of combine their forces against you, kind of a thing. You know, so think about other ways to, you know, control a group. You know, when they go up, we should be going down. When they get amped up, we should be relaxing and slowing down. Whatever plan you think you had at that time, you may have to rethink it and stop. You may not be able to do the lesson that you wanted to do. And guess what? That's okay. That's not you losing. That's you regrouping. You know, it's a key to find some common ground to, I don't want to say reason with them necessarily, but find some understanding about what you're trying to do. You may have to get quiet. You may have to stop everything. You may have to just shut down and then build back up. You know, you don't have to be perfect with what you're doing, and your lesson isn't always going to be perfect. But if you think that you accomplishing your lesson by getting that overall control in a difficult situation, your kids won't be learning anyways, because they just, the whole time they'll be thinking, I don't like you and you're being mean to me. So the more that we can rationalize with them and reason with them and be more strategic in our responses, I mean, you may literally lose that full lesson that day and have to think, okay, you know what, this isn't going to work and I have to figure something else out and regroup the next day. That I still think would be better than trying to overpower them and force something that they can't handle at that moment or don't want or really fighting you on. And I'm talking about when those groups really get out of control. You see a lot and you get in the older age levels where, you know, they just group against you. it's like a war, you know, but remember, you may lose the battle to win the war, but you could definitely lose the war by winning the battle. So think about that with a big group. Another thing to do is when you get in those situations is stop and break down things individually with people. You know, sometimes, well, I should say all the time, everybody, kids included, act better when they're individual. Even the kids that really struggle in a big group, man, it's like, whoa, you're acting straight up like a jerk. When you're individual, most of the time they're nice. You know, it's amazing how many times I have a kid that's, you know, in a class and in a group, it's just so tough, and you bring him to the office and you slow everything down, and all of a sudden those behaviors are gone. And there's a reason to that, because that whole social influence and keeping up with their peers and how people view them is such a powerful force, especially for teenagers. So break things down individually, build a bridge. Even if they're tough, meet with them more often. If they push you away, you pull them in closer. Just time and connection makes a huge difference. Explain how these new behaviors, if you're trying to create better interpersonal skills with them, will benefit them. And if you need to, give some type of incentives to get that momentum going. Again, I'm not a huge prize person, but there are times when you need to get their attention with some type of incentive. Usually the incentive works more if it's something that they want to do, so really talk to them about their interests. You know, but what do you think about all this? Because I know discipline right now is tough. And always it has been, frankly, but especially now where kids are so greatly influenced by others. They are, you know, living in this pandemic where all of us are super stressed out, and you know that has effect on them, as well as some of them had so much time away from class and school, and you never know what kind of influences they had at home or going on in their you know, lives at those times. What do you think about that? What are strategies that you use? What are you doing right now to help bring yourself down so that you're not getting amped up, so that you're not thinking that everything is a personal attack on us? Every action that they do is out to get us, right? Another quote to sort of finish off is, explain your anger instead of expressing it, and you will find solutions instead of arguments. Remember, at the end of the day, us arguing against kids, it's just noise. It's not going to effectively communicate. We have to find some common ground, explain why we may be frustrated, help them explain why they're frustrated. Even if we can find one connection there and move forward from that, that's winning. That's a discipline win. And at the end of the day, remember, we can't really control them. All we can do is control ourselves and how we react to situations. So thank you for your time on this podcast episode. I wish you the very best. Go after it. Go get them. You know, what we're doing matters. I know there's a lot of noise out there. A little last thought. There's so much noise out there about, you know, the frustrations of teaching and educators. But leadership in the classroom, in schools, is really needed when things are tough. It's easy to lead when things are easy. But true leadership, and those great educators, are there when things are tough. That's where you make your mark. That's where your legacy is. So remember, at the end of the day, you're here for a reason, and you're meant to be in that classroom with those kids. And whether they act like it or not, they need you and they want you. So thank you every day for what you're doing. Learn more at andyjacks.com, including free resources. Check out more about the book Discipline Win. Connect with me anytime at _andyjacks.com. Have a great day. Thank you for the service you do for kids.